of years, more days to labor than I'll take my heavenly flight. Feel a land I'm longing for here, and someday
Bible. Let's get it out. Open it up to Matthew, the book of Matthew, in chapter 14. Matthew in chapter 14. I said I wanted to continue on through after we've spent like 6 weeks in Matthew 13 on seven parables. I think I'll just continue on in Matthew 13, starting up on 14 here last week, looking again at the Herod's. I hope you got the penny pulpit. My penny pulpit on Herod came out better than my Sunday message did on Herod. And so I had pieced together who all these Herods are in the Bible. Remember the theme that we had covered for those 6 weeks in Matthew chapter 13 this spring was the fact that Matthew presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the King. And again, here, portrayed so eloquently by Matthew, is the rejection of the King. The King has been rejected. And we tied all that together, and I tried to summarize it as best I could out of John chapter 1 that says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." And so he was offering himself as the King of Israel, and Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah, as their King. And again, from the close of chapter 13 on, in the book of Matthew especially, we're covering again what the King does now that he has been rejected. And so notice again that last week we covered again the fact that he heard of the death of John the Baptist. And so let's pick up our reading right at that point. I think it's in verse 13. Oh, let's go all the way back to verse 12. Matthew chapter 14, if you follow along in your Bible. In fact, you look too comfortable there. Let's go ahead and stand up, stretch our legs a little bit, exercise, and then we'll preach for an hour, and then go to lunch. Matthew chapter 14, look with me at verse 12. You follow along as I read the account here of the feeding of the 5,000. Bible says, "And his disciples came and took up the body," that's the body of John the Baptist, and that's the disciples of John the Baptist, "and they buried him and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship unto a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye unto them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, 'Bring them hither to me.' And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Father, I praise you for your word. We thank you for its accuracy. We want to tell you right up front. We believe every word of this book. We lean on it, rely on it, we study it, and we love you for giving it to us. And I pray again as we'd explore a little bit, even of this accounting of the feeding of the 5,000, that you'd tug on our heart, that we'd recognize the capabilities you've given into our hands, the resources and the power that you have given to us, that we too could feed those around us. And I'll praise you and thank you, Father, for your touch on each one that's here today to worship you. And we'll thank you and praise you for your blessings. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. As we're looking at this portion of Scripture again, I want to emphasize the fact that Jesus is here in the flesh. And we'll notice again, even from our text, that at the time he heard of John the Baptist, he in the flesh wanted to draw apart, to get away. And listen, our bodies not only get weary, but we get emotionally drained. When we're going through sorrow, when we're going through hardship, when we're going through hard times, sometimes when our emotions have been peaked for a day, for 2 days, for a season, that we just need to draw apart. And if you excuse the Baptist preacher from saying this, do nothing. lots of times we get so busy doing. And lots of times from our pulpits we hear such people, our preachers just say, you got to do. But listen, sometimes we just need to draw apart. We just need to stop and absorb and reflect and recover. And so that was Jesus' need right here. He'd been preaching. He'd been healing. He'd already in this text been rejected and done all the parables on the coming kingdom here. And then he hears the news of John being killed. And he needs to just draw apart to a desert place. And when he does that, the multitudes followed after him. And so we looked at that last week just a little bit. Today we want to again look at the fact that here Jesus comes to his disciples. Look at verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." We've already seen the compassion that Christ had on people. And I tried to emphasize last week that we need to have that kind of compassion in our life. We need to have the compassion of Christ on people. People do the stupidest things. Especially if they're in politics, okay? And you can spend all your time just mad at people. Or you could be Christ-like and have compassion on people and realize that, hey, they're just doing what comes naturally in a sin nature. They're just doing, and man's nature is one of shaking his fist towards God and a hatred towards God. And so when we act in our own, well, they're just acting and that's just the way they are. Yeah, the way they are is called, again, depraved. And so again, understand that sometimes people just annoy you. And the more time you spend on Facebook, the more annoyed you get. Pastor Clark says this all the time. Get out of Facebook and get your face in the book. That's where we need to be. And so again, notice that people can be so frustrating. And here, Jesus responded to the people who pursued him, even when he wanted to be alone and wanted to be away. He didn't react to them with frustration like I do. Instead, he reacted with compassion. And notice even in the first of this parable we're looking at, or this incident here that we're looking at, of the feeding of the 5,000. This, by the way, let me say this out loud. It's not a parable. When we look at the account that's given here, I like to emphasize that this is honed down for the purposes of Matthew's telling the story. When you go and read the same account, it's given in the book of Luke. When you read the same, or no, Mark, it's given in the book of Mark. When you read the same account in the book of Mark, a few details are different because he's got a different purpose in telling the story. That doesn't mean that they're controversy between the two. Mark has a different purpose in telling the story. And I think if I wrote down my notes here, he included the fact that 200 penny worth of bread wouldn't be enough to feed all these. And then if you go and read the account in the book of Luke, you'll find again another detail given where they came and said, that, hey, we let them find lodging. Let them find a place to stay. And then when you read the account in John, you find that there's a little boy. It's been preached that a little boy gave his lunch. Now, let me go ahead and say the Bible doesn't say anything about a lunch. I've thought that perhaps the little boy was there with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's a horrible lunch, by the way. Instead, he was there with 5 loaves and 2 fishes trying to take advantage of the market. You know, that could have been true. He could have been offering them for sale. He could have been saying, hey, I'm going to go out there and make a killing on these starving people. And so the Bible doesn't say it was a lunch. But the Bible says that there was a little boy who gave what he had. And that's the emphasis in the Gospel of John. And so notice again that each of these Gospels presents a different perspective of God. And woe be it to the modern theologian who tries to merge them all into one accounting. These are 4 different perspectives of our Lord Jesus Christ. And a good Bible student will study them with glasses on that see the 4 different perspectives that's coming about Christ. Here we're looking at, again, the rejection of the king, and now we're looking at his compassion that he had on the people, yea, even the people that rejected him. And so that's the theme that's in here. And notice our inclination, the flesh's inclination, and even here the disciples' inclination is this: send the people away. Enough is enough. Get rid of them. Send them away so we can be alone. Send them away because we can't afford to give all the food to all these people. And so, notice the response that Jesus gives in verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. I hope you're familiar with the accounting here of this miracle. And so, as I give it to you here, I want to just draw some applications into our own lives in this day and age that we live in. And that people are needy, people are hungry. And listen to me, you do not have the resources in yourself to meet their needs. You do not have the wisdom, the cunning, the argument, the Bible background. You don't have the cunning to meet people's needs. And so you're going to have the same response here that the disciples had. Lord, he says, go ahead and feed them. And we say, whoa, wait a minute, I can't do that. I don't have the resources to do that. And so notice again that they say unto him, verse 17, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now look at verse 18. He said, bring them hither to me. What resources do you have? Give them to the Lord. But again, realize that you're not going to be able to feed the 5,000. Even though he told the disciples, okay, hey, you go feed them. That's a lesson he's given to them so that they would understand that, hey, I do not have the capability in myself. I do not have the ability to feed these 5,000. I do not have those resources in my hands. But Jesus is going to do a great miracle here. And again, as he's doing that, I don't want us to forget that it's not you. When you give answer, even when you come up with a good answer, I come up with some, we went up to the streets of Geneva with the Kesslers this weekend and preached on the street a little bit. And I was amazed at some of the answers I come up with. One guy, he called me a few names, asked me who I was voting for. And but listen, it wasn't me that answered. It wasn't my genius. It wasn't my preparation. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that we bathed those streets in prayer before we got there and after we left. It's God that speaks in you. And so we have soul-winning seminars where we train people what to say and everything. And that's all good stuff. That's good. Y'all should memorize the Romans Road and have that so you can just repeat the whole Romans Road to somebody. If you have opportunity, have the resources at your hands that you have, but then you still got to give it to Him. He's the one who can meet the needs of the people you're going to bump into this week. He's the one who can meet the needs of your family members. He's the one who can meet the needs of the people that you're going to do business with this week. He's the one who can meet the needs of the people you're going to go to work with this week. He's the one who can meet the people you might meet on, or meet the needs of the people that you might meet on the street. And so, don't forget, this healing here is not a lesson about what we can do. It's a lesson about what He can do. And so often we forget that. Listen, the apostate churches, here's what they teach. I remember, you remember Betty Smalley? Boy, we love Miss, we sure miss Betty Smalley. She asks some pertinent Bible questions around here. Makes you think all the time. Anyway, they got so mad at some Methodist church that will rename nameless, because Betty Smalley believed the Bible. She believed it so much that she started coming over here to church just so she could hear some Bible preaching that was out of the Bible. And they got so upset with Betty, if you remember, they sent two clergy members down to talk to her from the Methodist Church to tell her that the Bible isn't true. And she threw them, she threw them out on their ear. Oh, I just like rehearsing this story a little bit. But anyway, one of those preachers, when we had the, remember we had the Dresden picnics around here? And so we helped out what we could, and the Methodist Church kind of headed that up around here, and had the picnics, and the preacher was a guy at that time. There was a time once upon the earth when a man pastored the church over there instead of all these women that are pastoring. But he said to me, he said, you know, this is just like the miracle. We're all sharing our food together. That's just a miracle of the feeding of 5,000. That's what happened to Jesus. Jesus taught the little boy to share his lunch. Everyone else looked at the little boy sharing his lunch. And so everybody started sharing their lunch. And there was enough food there for everybody that they shared their food so well, they learned such an invaluable lesson that from now on, then they all learned to share. And that's where all the 7 baskets of excess food came from. And I said to him, that's balderdash. That's just not true. I wasn't well received amongst the Methodist clergy, you can tell. But listen, that isn't it at all. But that is the teaching that's going on in any of the denominational churches. It's not that Jesus did a miracle, but we can explain how Jesus did it without a miracle. And that's their theme for everything. That's why they have them trying to cross the Reed Sea instead of the Red Sea. That's why, again, they take every miracle that's done in the Bible and they water it down and paste it together as if some natural occurrence, then, and they explain it that way. And my response to that is still the same. That's balderdash. That's misleading for what really happened here and what's given here. So put it down that all they had to feed these people was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And that's given in these accounts so that we'll understand that there's a miracle involved here. And listen, the same miracle, if you're going to meet the needs of people that you see this week, it's going to take a miracle. I do not have the resources
in me to do it, nor do you. I don't have enough books in my library that'll teach me how to meet the needs of people. But God in me, God in you, can meet the needs of people, even as Jesus here had compassion on people and wanted to meet their needs. And so let's watch for that in our own lives, the compassion of Christ. And even the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 here should again bring us to a position where we understand that it's Him. It's all about Him. And He can do the impossible. What resources do you have? Give it to Jesus. That's given in each of these accounts again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That you need to give your resources. Give them what you got. Praise the Lord. But He'll use it with a miracle to meet the needs of others. And with that in mind, again, you just look down through this miracle again. Look at verse 19. And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Notice Jesus never had this question. Wow, I wonder how I'm going to get this done. I wonder how this is going to work. And instead, He just said, hey, not to worry. And He commanded the people to sit down. Notice again that aggressiveness, I want to call it again, that He's just charging right into this with a faith in God. And let me go ahead and say that sometimes you just need to charge into things with faith in God. I tell them what you're doing before you do it. I'd mention, by the way, Lord, I'm going to go over and talk to this individual, and I sure need your help. When we pray to our Father, which art in heaven, and you ought to wonder about the miracle of that you have a God in heaven who created this whole world, and you get to call Him Father because you've been adopted into His family. I mean, that's a miracle. So when we pray, we ought to pray, Our Father, which is in heaven. But listen, there's been many a time when I talk to the Holy Spirit. He's the guy that lives inside of me again. And I say, I need a little help here. I'm getting into a mess here and I need some help from you. And so don't be afraid again. Instead, be bold, even as it were, to call on the Lord and look for a miracle. And notice Jesus here knew what He was going to do and had no reservations about it. And He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake and gave loaves to His disciples. And read down through here again and watch, in all of these accounts, watch for the role of the disciples. He could have just poofed and had everybody have bread in their little suitcase, you know. But He didn't. He could have, there's another account where He goes to Philip and He says, Philip, why don't you go ahead and give them bread? And that Philip, and it says in the Bible, this He did in order to test Him. And so listen, God can test you a little bit in these things. And you can end up in a position where, wow, this is awkward. And if you... Are you in the habit of avoiding awkward positions, telling others about Christ? You need to get over that. And just charge in, even here, as the disciples were assigned to do this task, we've been assigned to preach the gospel to every creature. And sometimes it's going to be awkward. It can be awkward to bring it up at work. Well, what are they going to think? Well, what's the boss going to say? Well, what's going to happen when so-and-so finds out? What are they going to do? What are they going to react? And so when we go out working in the street, when we go out working in the street, once you start, it's easy. But boy, doing those first couple, again, it's tough. And once you get started, it's hard to get stopped. It really is. Praise the Lord. I heard a testimony of a doctor who said... Who'd started a ministry again, and they were in some foreign country, and people come over to work in the ministry with him, And he said, they come over having gone through the Romans Road with somebody and showed them how to be saved, having done that maybe once or twice in their lifetime as Christians. And now all of a sudden they're set in a situation where they've got to go through the plan of salvation and counsel people that have come in to see the doctor, and then they're assigned again to go out and talk to them. And so they said this. They said, listen, after you've gone through the Romans Road and showed someone the plan of salvation 400 times a day, you can get pretty confident at showing someone else the plan of salvation. But listen, that first time is still stepping out of your comfort zone and getting used to taking that first step. It's worth it. I'd like to get, Brother Ball and Brother Kessler, we had a good time up there on the streets. Even though it was like a ghost town up there, there wasn't anybody out. Nobody's in business. Nobody's eating lunch. Usually the place fills up at noon because all those outside cafes. There wasn't anybody out there. We had to hunt people down to talk to them. But I told them, don't hand out tracts. I said, these are not tracts. And so hand out Bible verses and get that in there. And so I just go up one side of the street. He went up the other side, and I don't have one on me. That all the preacher doesn't have one on me to tell you what it looks like. I pull out a tract and say, I'd like to give you some Bible verses that changed my life completely. And very few people turned them down. The only one that did cursed me up one side, down the other. But you can't even be afraid of that. Again, don't get used to that. And people do that. Of course, I'm the pastor. It's got my name and address on there. So I say to say to people, hey, when I'm in a restaurant, wherever, hey, I'd like to give you a copy of my business card. People always say business cards from people, okay? Let me give you my business card. If there's ever anything a Baptist preacher can do for you, you can give me a call. And I hand out my business card, which happens to be the gospel tract that we have in the back that's got my name and address on it. And so get used to that. Just anyone you see, that, hey, I'd like to give you some Bible verses that if you approach somebody and say, I'd like to give you a tract, they don't know what a tract is. A tract is something that moose leave behind. So I'd like to give you some Bible verses that changed my life. I want to give you some Bible verses that can make a difference in your life. People will be responsive. And right now, people are responsive. People are hungry. Even as here in this parable, they were hungry. I must press on. And so, notice here again, he commanded the multitude to sit down. And very bold, very forward. And he gave the disciples the food. Jesus didn't hand out the food. Jesus don't go soul winning. Remember when he sent out the disciples and had them go house to house and witness? He didn't go. Instead, he sent the disciples and they went. Get used to being sent. You are sent ones. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's our commission. That's what disciples do. And so, notice here again, he sends the disciples with the food. And I always try to visualize this. I can't wait till Sights and Sounds does this. Oh, they already did, didn't they? I want to see how more food pops out all the time. And they never run out. And so much food popped out that they had, 12 baskets, I think, or 7 baskets at the end here of fragments. And they did all eat and were filled and took up the fragments that remained. 12 baskets full. How did that work anyway? Again, the Methodists across the street say, well, everyone pulled their lunch out and they all shared. No. Jesus made the bread. Jesus is the bread, and Jesus made the bread. And so again, to understand the miracle that's here, that's how it worked. I don't know if the disciples even knew how it worked. Remember in the Old Testament, there was a lady who started pouring oil out of her vessel, and as long as she had empty vessels, it kept pouring. It was probably just like that. I don't know what they were handing the food out in, but however it went, it never ran out. They just kept handing out more and more and more. What a tremendous miracle. And let me go ahead and say this. If all you do is sit in church and pay attention and write notes and listen to what's being preached, your preacher will be happy and I'll be just delighted. Hey, wow, at least someone's listening, okay? But listen, you ain't going to grow. And it ain't going to help you. And it ain't going to stick in you until you take that out and give it to somebody else. Until you take what you're taking in and you become a teacher. When I went in the military,
we went to, I forgot the name of the church, but I took a Sunday school class, a junior boys class. Let me tell you, I learned more in a junior boys class teaching Sunday school class than I ever learned sitting in a class. When you got to give the answers, when you got to again go through the lesson plan, when you got to again put that together and say, I'm going to give this to somebody, listen, you learn things that way that you'll never get any other way. Probably Dave could give testimony of that going through these Sunday school lessons. I mean, boy, there's a lot of stuff there. I wanted to go through Revelation one more lap. I said, that's good stuff there. And started in Genesis now with the new lessons. But boy, there's a lot of stuff there. Don't just sit and absorb it. Pass it on. And listen, you'll not grow. And you'll not be successful as a Christian until you start being a vessel. There's a verse in John. I'd look it up if I wrote the reference down. It says something, I think it's in John 7. It says something about the fact that I don't know what it says anymore. It's an awful thing to grow old. Let's look at John chapter 7. I know where it is on my page. So on my page it comes out in John 7, verse 38. The Bible says, he that believeth on me. We all cat? We all set? Okay, we got believers in here. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39 says, parentheses, but this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Pastor Art Cole preached an excellent message down at the men's conference on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's great to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's ineffective unless it's flowing, unless it flows out of you. You all heard of the Dead Sea. You know why it's called dead? It's dead, okay? And it has no outlet. Don't be a dead sea. Make sure you have an outlet, that you're putting out what you're taking in. And as you, again, learn scriptures, as you learn to memorize the Romans Road and John 3, 16, 17, and 18, and add 36 in there and 524, go ahead and give that to somebody. And just make an excuse. Say, hey, I'm trying to memorize scripture. Will you listen here? Give them a 3x5 card. Have them read it while you quote it. I'm talking about a stranger on the street or somebody at work. Or use any opportunity you can to get out the gospel. I miss Brother Garraway. Whenever I go up to the streets of Geneva, I think about Brother Garraway. More so when I go down to Watkins Glen on the streets. He could talk to anybody. And he could capture attention and get them to stop and listen. He'd tell them this only take 3 minutes, and he'd take 30 minutes. But be able to approach people and talk again. And let that Spirit flow out of your belly. You know what flows out of your belly here, not out of your mouth? Your head, or your feet, or your hands. It flows out of your belly because that's the seat of our emotion. And again, that we need to be emotionally attached to this gospel message that we're preaching. We need, again, to be able to tell others what it'll do for them, because what it's done for me. It says here again let me look up Brother Cole's message here and give you the whole thing. He says, you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to have the fruit of the Holy Ghost. We'll look at that in a minute. And you have to have this flowing. It's got to flow out of you. And then lastly, he said, you got to have a fire. The Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God is pictured in the Bible many times as a fire. Jeremiah said, it is a fire that burned inside of me and I had to speak out. And so, listen, you got to have a fire.
I praise the Lord that some of the idols in America, all the football idols, I don't know if they started football yet, all the football idols have all been destroyed by COVID-19. Praise God. But listen, some people can name anything there is to name about football. And they know everything about football because there's a fire inside of them that burns about football. And that's what they live and that's what they talk about and that's what they live for. But, careful, I don't want to step on any toes here. But listen, we ought to have a fire inside of us. And it ought to be a fire about sporting events. It ought to be a fire. Now listen, we're going to get close to home here. It ought to be a fire about bass fishing. Careful, careful. It ought to be a fire about deer hunting. Careful, careful now. I want to be careful here. I got some of these fires. But listen, it ought to be about fire about soul winning. It ought to be a fire about talking about what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And what he's done for me and spiritual things and keeping them in the forefront. And so we ought to have some of those things here coming out of our life, even so that we could feed the 5,000. That we could again meet needs of a hungry people. And you and I are going to bump into needs, a needy people and a hungry people. You and I are going to bump into an ignorant people this week. I've never seen such Bible ignorance in all of my life as to be found in America in this day and age. Sights and Sounds just put on Esther here. It's scary how many people in America never heard of Esther, don't know anything about it. It's scary how many people in America never heard of Noah, never heard of Abraham, never heard of any Bible accounts of anything. Listen, there's a Bible ignorance. When I got saved back in 1960, people knew some things about the Bible. They knew they needed the Lord. They knew, again, there was a hunger. And listen, it was easy back then. Let me go ahead and say it that way. It was easy back then to go out and be a witness and to find somebody that would accept and believe. And again, that you could go out on the streets. Dr. Sheldon Smith preached here. If you can't go out in a block of your town and get someone to receive Christ, then you're probably not a good preacher. Well, then I qualify for not a good preacher because I've been around the blocks of Dresden 100 times. And so again, understand that, hey, it's not easy in this stage. I don't want to paint a picture that the fields are white under harvest here. It's tough out there. People are agnostic. People will despise you for bringing up the gospel to them. People will be offended if you have a Bible in your hand on the streets of Geneva. And you think that's a venom, you should sit down in the front of the county building up there and read it out loud and find out what happens. It's exciting again. But again, to understand that, hey, people aren't going to be receptive of the gospel. But they still need it. And they need to hear it. And one might water and another, one might plant the seed, another water. But again, we need to be about the Father's business. And be here with the compassion of souls. And seeing that there is a need. And remember Jesus' command that he said to the disciples, hey, go ahead and give them what they need to eat. Whoa, wait a minute. I don't have it. Yeah, you do. We've got it. We've got it right here. And we need to tap into that and use that to be a witness with a new boldness, with a new purpose, that the Holy Spirit of God can speak through me, because I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and I'm going to open my mouth. Father, how I praise you for your word. Thank you for the miracle that we could read here. And Father, you said that we're going to do greater miracles than you did. We don't comprehend all of that as well as we ought to. But Father, we've got all of your resources at our fingertips. I pray that you'd help us to use them this week. We love you. We thank you what you did for us. And I pray that you'd help each one in this room on this day to be a better witness, to again open our mouths and to step out
to tell someone else. And we'll give you the praise again for working that in hearts and lives. As we step into a new week, I thank you we can do it as born-again believers. And pray now again that you go with us into this week. With this verse, with this context, with the idea again that there's 5,000 people out there that need to be fed. And you told your disciples to go do it. Help us as your disciples to be about the Father's business. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and let's just have a verse of invitation as we do. God's tugged on your heart. You thought of someone that you need to be a witness to. Go ahead and bring their name up to God just now. And let's have a moment. If you want to come to an altar, feel free to do that. If you want to see it, sit and pray there at your seat. Let's get a hold of God. Praise the Lord. Saved today. Let's go ahead and dismiss with a song. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Praise the Lord. It's good to see each one of you. Lord bless you for worshiping today.